here in the summertime, we have a lot of plants, edible plants. You can see the hip rose there.
Rose hip?
Rose hip, yes. Scurvy grass here.
Yes. Scurvy grass, okay.
And it grows the whole year. I can see some out there. And we have...
You're getting into that water?
Yes. It tastes like wasabi.
Oh, yeah.
And I think... And
a little mustard taste then, a bit of a kick to it. We put bags of scurvy grass and sea beet in Jørn's van and drive back to the wild kitchen. What are you cooking up here?
It is oysters and mushrooms.
Oyster mushrooms.
And I picked them yesterday in the forest.
Oh. Here, the food is not so much influenced by the Vikings, who over open fires cook cauldrons of stew and on special occasions, horse meat on spits. It's more influenced by the sort of cooking Danes did when Jørn was growing up after the war, like nine cabbage soup, where lots of wild greens as well as actual cabbage went into the pot. This is food, says Jørn, to recreate the link between what we eat and the countryside around us.
We put the landscape on the table. We talk about the landscape, how it was created and the stories from the landscape and the taste from the landscape.
Mm.
So when visitors come to us, we hope that we'll be inspired to go out and have some experience that we told about.
All right.
In her Copenhagen restaurant, Hannemann's Køkken, Danish chef Trine Hannemann takes off her rings, ready for business. Hannemann is famous for her cookery books, one of which is called The Nordic Diet. Though she uses local, organic produce, she's less worried about wild foods, more about keeping things seasonal, traditional, homemade, healthy and easy.
This is a very simple meal, and we call it biksemad, and it's actually leftover food. So in the old days, you take your potatoes and your meat, chop it up in small cubes, and then you fry it with some onion. So, and it's really, this is one of the meals you can make in half an hour. If you change your diet to more vegetables and much less meat and dairy, you will feel better. The framework that I work from is something that I call 80-20. So 80% should come from plant-based food and 20% should come from animals. And that is also the milk in your latte. I think that should be the modern way of eating, and both for your health but also for the environment and the planet. And then I think it's very important to actually make these traditional dishes in this new way, where you still have something that you can recognize and has been part of your diet, because you're so emotionally connected to food. So you can't just go over and start eating all kinds of fancy things made in a very restaurant way of eating the Nordic diet. I think it's very important to think about how can I still make it traditional, like my grandmother would do, and then just tweak it a little, because then you will be connected to it still, but it will fulfill you in your senses, in your stomach, in all the things that a meal also has to be able to do. It looks nice, right?
Very nice.
And then, of course, because you are in Denmark, we would eat this with a piece of rye bread.
Okay.
And pickled beetroots.
So what do the scientists say about the new Nordic diet, of which Trine Hannemann is such a keen advocate? Dr. Arne Erstrup, head of Copenhagen University's Department of Nutrition, has been researching diet, lifestyle and obesity for 40 years. He sends me a graph which shows that in Denmark, as pretty much everywhere else in the Western world at least, the number of obese people rose alarmingly steeply from the mid-1980s onwards. But in the mid-2000s, unlike pretty much everywhere else, something interesting starts to happen here. The tendency is still upwards, but there are little falls too. You can almost see the bicycling, gym-going, metrosexual early adopters upping their kale intake. And what happens in 2010 is pretty amazing. The number of obese people starts to fall uninterruptedly and steeply. A success, says Astrup, that is partly due to this new way of eating.
Without thinking about it, you will automatically reduce your total caloric intake and therefore lose weight gradually. And that's what we saw in some of the trials, but also that their blood pressure was dropping, just like if you took one or two medications for hypertension. And that's simply due to some of the potassium, magnesium and calcium in the diet that are very natural reducers of blood pressure.
In the centre of Copenhagen, commuters hurry towards the central station, This is the site of what is called John's Hot Dogs, one of 5,000 stands in Denmark where they sell this country's other traditional diet, hot dogs in a bewildering range of shapes, sizes and colours, with, if you want to be really traditional, chocolate milk. This is Trine Hanneman's 80-20, but the other way round. What do customers here have to say about the Nordic diet?
We try to eat local, lots of vegetables and not so much meats. A lot of fish.
A lot of local fish, yeah.
And you crack from time to time and you hit the hot dog stand?
I think twice a year I do it.
Yeah. We eat that kind of food often with my family and like stuff like that. But like I don't have money. When I buy food myself, I don't have money to buy that kind of food. Then it's often just something cheaper.
I think it's 6 months since I've been looking at this stuff.
6 months that you haven't had a hot dog?
Yeah.
It's terrible.
Yeah. No, it isn't. No, it isn't.
No, it's not. It's good. It's good. So you're quite full on to this traditional and very healthy Nordic way of eating.
I just found out it's better for my body. I have much more energy.
With which this last woman energetically walked off without buying her hot dog, as had the young woman who eats Nordic with her family. So I tried to mollify the hot dog seller by telling her that when I'm in Denmark, it's more like one hot dog every 6 hours, and ordering one myself. For some of us, this healthy new way of eating is still a long way north. John Lawrenson, DW, Copenhagen.